You're listening to the Northeast Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. I almost couldn't do it.
Why?
Your monthly podcast.
Your somewhat regular podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening. We're back. It's
still a week. It's a weekly podcast.
It is a week, and this is a podcast for this week. So thank you for tuning in. My name's Andrew, and with me as always is Corlin.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Good day, everyone.
I want to get different mic stands because the pole is right directly in front of your face. Right? If Joe Rogan can have really expensive ones, why can't we?
I know.
Right? I don't know. Episode 153. What's been going on, fellas? It's been a while. Our listener wants to know what's going on in your life.
Single listener.
That never gets not funny.
I talked to her Sunday.
Corlin, you started a life group?
Yeah, we started a life group.
How's that been?
It's been a pretty soft start.
Yeah, life is. Miss us or what?
Always.
When do you meet?
We meet Fridays. So we decided to do it similar to actually what we were doing earlier. Most of the people that we have invited, when we're they're like, well, when are we meeting? We tell them Friday. And they're like, oh, thank goodness. That's the only day that works for us.
And okay.
Like, okay, perfect. But yeah, we started a life group. It's a very soft start is what I'm calling it right now. And the reason I'm
what
saying
do you mean
that,
by that?
No one's coming.
So far, yeah. We've only had one couple that's been showing up regularly.
It's a soft launch.
Yeah, soft launch, which is okay. I like when we discussed when we wanted to start it, I kind of knew that this season
right before
is really, really busy. There's a lot of events around Fort St. John during this time of year that just take up Fridays.
Quality over quantity, man.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're just continuing to meet. People that can make it, come on down.
Are you doing dinner or what evening or what time?
Yeah, so we do it in the evening. We welcome people into our homes around around 5:30, but we actually only like start at 6. That way people who get off at 5 have a little bit of time where it's like, oh we're late if we show up at 5:30. Yeah. So or 5:35 or whatever, right? So we're starting by actually just hanging out for probably till January. We're just going to be meeting and getting used to being in the same room as the people kind of thing.
Cool.
Doing life together, yeah.
Pardon?
Doing life together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Getting used to that and then hopping into some of the deeper stuff probably afterwards, doing more focused studies and whatnot.
Cool.
But we wanted to provide a place where people can, like you said, do life together. So it's easier when you know people versus when you show up into a room and you're like,
first week.
Yeah.
Tell me your darkest secrets.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're studying Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Man. How have you been, Cameron? Your mom's visiting?
She is, yeah. It's been going well. She's here till the 30th. So
nice.
Yeah, it's just a full season, like you said, with Christmas concert rehearsal, it seems, every other day.
Every other day. Hey, guys, I don't want to brag, but I have a small part in the Christmas play now.
Oh, you unlocking the building? Or
No.
Yes.
I have to record the Bible story that it will be played while they act out the nativity. So.
Oh, that's cool. Spoiler alert.
They must like my reading voice.
Yeah, I guess so.
Spoiler alert.
Right on. Yeah, no, it's fun. I like the winter season. I like clear and snow.
Yep.
Not so much before work, like in the morning, like at 6:45. But I enjoy moving snow. We have this thing in our neighborhood where whoever kind of fires the snowblower first will do everyone. So was me last weekend, and I did 5 houses, and just a lot of fun, just rolling through the street and
Using a shovel, not so fun.
No, if you're using a shovel, not so fun. But once you got the big suit on and you're all good to go, then after you do your driveway, it's like kind of like,
wow. I did my parents' driveway a while ago because my dad just had surgery, and our driveway barely drifts. Like if we get a drift, it's like shitting high and a little bit of a pain to shovel, but no big deal. I forgot how bad their driveway drifts because it's been a few years since I lived there, right? There was drifts that were like 4 feet high that I was shoveling through to try and get their driveway in proper shape for them. So
need a snow fence or something.
Need a snow blower is what I needed.
Yeah, man.
You're like, why did I offer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is not.
What about you?
Yeah, life's good. Yeah. My parents move up here in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks now. So I'll be flying down to drive up their big U-Haul. So I did that once already, and then they're like, oh, I think we have to rent another 20-foot U-Haul, and they're like, it's snowy, can you come drive it? So I said, isn't like retirement where you downsize? Why are you keeping all this crap? Just throw it out.
I'm kidding.
They should go shovel out the front of the storage before you roll up there.
Yeah, no kidding. So yeah, that'll be exciting. And today's American Thanksgiving, so.
Oh, is it today?
Today's Turkey Day, yep. Wow. So we'll celebrate that. And
you got a couple Americans in your clan?
That's true. My brother-in-law is American, so they're hosting and
nice.
Turkey pie, whatever.
Chaos.
We were going to watch the Macy's Day Parade, but it starts 6:30 a.m. our time.
Oh, wow.
So my wife, if you know my wife, she doesn't like getting it. She's like, never mind. I don't want to see it. I don't want to watch it that badly.
Put it on YouTube, the replay later.
From last year's.
Yeah, well, it'll be online later today.
Anyways, we got two questions to chat about. This question actually did come in from someone. And I think I'm going to use it off the top of my head. I can't find it. But anyways, basically it was, you know, as Christians, are there certain, like, this person used the term pagan practices that are redeemable? Or are there things that as Christians we can say, like, hey, we're gonna do that because we'll just redeem it and we'll use the same kind of things? And so I'll just be like honest. It was about like native spirituality. Absolutely. It was like something in their school came up where it was kind of like, I don't know, this person felt uncomfortable being like, okay, as Christians, do we just like participate in that? Is that like pagan? Or like, what's going on here? Is it just cultural? But then I thought, too, it extends to all sorts of stuff.
It's Christmas time. We're going to get the question soon about Christmas trees and stuff. And
oh, yeah. So you look, okay, so do we celebrate Christmas? I heard that that used to be a pagan holiday in the Roman Empire. Like, Halloween, you know, yeah. Can Christians redeem aspects of that? But then there's even, like, you know, I'll use the example of Bethel Church as an extreme example. Hmm. They have, like, a Christian version of tarot card readings. And then they go to New Age spiritual conferences and they do tarot card. Tarot card is like, yeah, reading your fortune or whatever, your future. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, we're just doing like a Christian version. And I've actually read articles where people have said, we're redeeming the New Age stuff. So then I go, are those on the same line or is it different or like cultural? Or so I don't know. What do you guys think? are there certain, is it a gray area? Or is it like, well, sometimes it's okay, but then you cross a line in certain places? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the kind of question that could leave a room quiet, as people think, in all honesty. For a lot of us, anyways, I feel that way. Because even as I've been thinking of the question before we talked here, I realize that part of me is like, yeah, no, I don't know that we should redeem, like, truly pagan practices. I don't know that there's a necessity to do that, per se. And yet I'm looking forward to setting up a Christmas tree in my house come my birthday, because that's usually when we do it. So I was like, I don't know. I think it stumps us because I don't think we realize how many things we do that would have, if you want to say it, worldly influence in our Christian homes, right? So then if you actually take a step back and think about all of the things that you do throughout your day, there's a lot of stuff that you do that isn't per se prescribed in scripture to do as a Christian. So yeah, I think it is kind of an area that as Christians, we do have to navigate through some gray area to understand what God's will would be in these areas.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between, say, putting a Christmas tree in your house and doing a fortune-telling exercise, a Christian version of that. Because, I think the stories are highly conflated about Christmas and all those kind of things that actually, if you read historically, it's actually not quite accurate the way we're like, they used to, like, offer sacrifices to trees and it was this pagan thing. And I'm like, actually, if you read history, that's not what it was at all. That's some Christians who were like, everything is paganism. And I'm like, well, you know, some Christians decided, hey, we're going to celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And it was kind of like, there's already these holidays going on. Let's just celebrate while this is happening.
Yeah.
Right. That to me is different than being like, hey, you know how the Bible says to not specifically don't do these things. Let's do them anyways and redeem them for Jesus. I'm like, that seems different to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like the idea, because like explicitly in the Bible, it's like, don't do necromancy, which is like reaching out to dead people.
Yeah, there's a passage in Acts 19 that talks about people who were doing sorcery and stuff when they heard the good news about Christ.
And they burned all their books.
Like in today's dollars, it would have been like millions of dollars worth of material that they used for divination and magic and sorcery. And they burned it publicly as a statement.
Yeah, and I'm even thinking of Old Testament examples where God tells the Israelites, like, don't do witchcraft. Don't do this. Don't... And there's no room for like, okay, well, you can do it, but
until
like
until Jesus comes, don't do this.
Yeah. Mm. And even like in the Promised Land, they were specifically told, like, don't do what these other nations are doing because it's evil. Yeah. Like, just separate yourselves from them. But then it's like, yeah, okay, so my kids went trick-or-treating. Is trick-or-treating a Satan worship? I don't think so. Right. I think it's just getting some candy and trying to meet your neighbors and... But some Christians would say, no, it's rooted in...
Yeah. And so, yeah.
You're the resident indigenous person, so tell us, Brother Cameron.
It's been the focus of my seminary.
Yeah, right.
Indigenous
exactly.
Theological Studies since 2019 in North America's only fully governed university that is all indigenous theologians and some fascinating folks, authors of Greek textbooks. I'm highly, like tonight, a class again, just blessed to have these folks who have spent their lives navigating the tension of culture versus religion.
Yeah.
And there are four fully contextualized evangelical churches in North America, where the one closest to us is run by Dr. Casey Church, and he's a former U.S. military Native American Navajo who found Jesus young and always struggled with his culture demonizing spirituality and thinking, but I serve the living God, but I am also very rooted in my culture. And so his church, which you could watch online, they'll have traditional everything, the drumming, the music, nothing is westernized.
Huh.
But they're preaching out of the Bible. They're worshiping the living God, the creator of all. Mm-hmm. And they'll do, much like communion, their communion will be contextualized food. They won't have crackers. It'll be maybe a bannock or a fried bread. Like, it's literally what they would normally eat.
That's way better than our.
And so then it's fascinating because I always grew up with my culture being demonized, especially around spirituality, because... Yeah. Of the foreign nature of it. And I think that, like, I don't have a propensity to want to go and learn how to drum. But when I see someone doing that and worshiping God, I don't think right away demonic.
Hmm.
But I do, like, so our children go to school and they have an indigenous support education teacher and they'll do crafts and they'll create space. And it's acknowledgement that this culture has been so pushed down that these people don't even know how to express it because of a deep history of it not being allowed. Mm-hmm. Both my grandparents were in residential school and my mother was in a boarding school, and their names were taken away, their status was taken away until I was already born.
Hmm.
And so then it's really challenging when we just look at something foreign and we say, well, we shouldn't engage with it because it's probably dark. But much like evangelical Christianity, I think that we see folks engaging in their spirituality and we would say, I get it, it's not for me because it's just a different vein. But I was even thinking about that. And if I were in an assembly or in a public park, and, you know, a few years ago when you and another pastor did, you know, church in the park or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
If there was a rabbi and maybe the imam from the mosque and they said their prayers, like, I probably wouldn't leave or cover my ears. I'd probably just hear it and go about my way because it doesn't have anything to do with me. I think with schools, when they're doing like a dream catcher, for example, there are people who idolize that object, like you might a Christmas tree or trick-or-treating, and are those that can appreciate, hey, that's how those folks symbolize or remember that the God of the universe is protecting them at all times. And so when you look at the origin of what that would actually mean, there's a lot of dark connotations that are just naturally like, just like evangelical Christian world faith views. But, you know, when it's taught that this is a healthy reminder for us to say the God of the universe is protecting us in our sleep, as we wake, as we eat, as we live, and we don't have to be afraid of the things around us, because the creator is, the God of the universe is one, it's our protector. And so it's really interesting. And I, you know, I don't get involved too much in that, but I really appreciate taking a step back and looking at the situation and not automatically going to a default of it's all demonic because it's not the way I do it.
I think that's going to be human nature, is to look at stuff that's different than what you do and like, push back against it because it's not familiar to you, right? Like, like no matter what kind of thing, people do that with food, people do that with music, people do like anything.
I have to say, if you were transplanted to the early church, you would look at them and say, "You brown folks, I don't understand what you're doing. It looks silly, demonic," and you'd walk away.
Yeah.
If us today here in Fort St. John were transplanted into a time, we wouldn't even probably appreciate or give weight or time to ask what they're doing or how they're doing it.
So this is like a question out of ignorance. Please, so forgive me. So what you're saying is like all of those kind of like, and we'll just keep going with the native example, those kind of spiritual things, they were worshiping the God we worship just in a different way, or was it paganism? And now we're like, that's where I'm trying to go. Okay. Cause then you could say that about, I don't want to get canceled.
I think what Cameron's saying is that those practices don't have to be used to worship.
There's an amazing book called God in the Singing River, and it's written by God in the Singing River. Okay. And it's written by an author now who discovered the gospel as an adult, but he, through his tribe where he grew up on a reservation, he just remembers this ancient story of the river that separated the two parts of their nation and two different people groups. And the story of that tribe was a young couple in love, and it would have been detrimental to both people groups if they had gotten together, and how the one young person considered the betterment of all and walked into the river and sacrificed himself to ensure that there wasn't, and he thought that was like a, you know, it's a folklore story. But then when he was exposed to the gospel through evangelism, he's like, I understand that, like, Jesus, the God of the universe, would sacrifice himself. And so it was like, that story wasn't their theology, that story was a fun folklore, oral kind of like tradition, like a moralism story. But then when he heard the gospel as a young person, he's like, I understand the gospel, just because like our people have been talking about this. And so he used finding the gospel to, it's kind of like that Paul in Athens, where he's like,
yeah, I was gonna mention,
yeah, right, like, I know what you've been seeking this entire time.
Yeah.
And so like any faith tradition, I think we're all longing for worshiping God, and so many get it wrong. And then when the gospel through evangelism is shared, it's that beautiful, like, it's like that awakening or that connection, like, what I've been longing for is actually the God of the universe. And so when I speak with these people now who are mostly in America, where they weren't subjected to residential schools in the same way, they were put on reserves, but they were always allowed to practice their culture.
Sure.
There are Bible believing God fearing Native Americans who you wouldn't look at their worship and contextualize it as Western, but it's still genuine because they're holding the Holy Scriptures and reading about the God of the universe and praying to Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And but they don't have a guitar or an organ in their church. Right. Yeah. They'll have a drum circle.
Yep.
And it's like, well, that rhythmic drumming is demonic. It's like, well, I don't know. You might say that about when we have an electric guitar.
Well, yeah, even when we went to Zambia, this is 6 years ago, maybe now, the team of us went to Zambia, and we were in a few different church services. And yeah, culturally, man, how they do worship is vastly different from how we do it. But these are, you know, Bible believing Christians, and there was a lot more, you know, dancing and, you know, what we would go like, that's so inappropriate to move your hips like that, kind of thing. Especially in the MB church.
Sure. Yeah.
And a lot of drumming. It's primarily drums over there as for instruments. And yeah, I could see culturally it's just so different. And yet it was all Christ-centered, and it's about Jesus. And
so I think that's what Cameron is getting at too, culture versus religion, right?
Sure.
You've told stories before in the sermon of that one gentleman who went to Asia, and instead of coming in the black suit, coming in the black suit and forcing Western Christianity on a different people group, he actually went and met and lived with the people and shared the gospel. And so then you have that tension where you're discerning what is culture versus what is worship, right? I would say anyways, right?
There's another book that talked about that and talked about another individual in Africa. And in this case, the tribe was topless, and they really struggle with moralism and modesty. Mm-hmm. And the Christian who had lived in that area of the world forever and would be supported by the North American missionaries, they struggle with that. That's sinful, what these women primarily are not showing modesty. And he really challenged that. He's like, actually, in this culture, it's not immodest. It's actually the way it's always been. Mm. So to impose that, to impose the letter of the law scripturally, like, you will cover yourselves to be modest. It's like, well, they were covering their midsection and their waist. And it's a tribal group in Africa. There's not that same level of sexual derogatory sin that would look at that and say that that's sinful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a really tough cultural challenge for those of us in the West who read scripture and think that modesty would be covered. That's a really interesting, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that, Corlin, what you said, the difference between like culture and worship, because you'll notice even, okay, so biblically, we have so many different cultures, and the end is going to be in Revelation. It's every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every language, all worshiping Jesus. It doesn't say, and we'll just have one culture.
And we'll all look like the North Peace MB.
Yeah.
Or we'll all do it the same, or we'll play the same instruments, or we'll have the same. So here's the thing. We put a cross in the church.
Yeah.
What if a church put a dream catcher and said that that's our reminder that God is always with us? That's hard. It's hard to do. But, you know, my kids are not cultured. Like, neither am I, because, well, there's an interesting history with that also. I was born on the reserve, but they took the reserve away and moved it because they wanted to develop. And so, you know, when I tell my kids and they make a little craft at school with teacher Alex or whatever, and it's a dream catcher, I ask them, what does it mean? And they tell me what they said it means. I'm like, well, actually, this is how it's been taught to me. And they thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, it is a symbol that God is with us. Mm. And so is that redeeming something pagan, or is it correcting a misinformation? I'm not certain. But I do agree that witchcraft, idolatry, it's all wrong. Because we can do that with the Bible. We've talked about in previous episodes where you idolize this book and like you can't even like recycle it. You'll never change it, or you'll never throw it in the garbage because you idolize it.
Yep.
Or the cross on the stage. Like, people get weird about that too. I've been in churches where they weren't sure if they could move it or not. It's like, well, can you touch it? Can you not touch it? Will I get a sliver? It's like, it's a piece of wood. It's just a reminder to us.
Yep.
It's a really tough struggle for a lot of folks though.
Yeah, totally. Because I think we do.
And it's a fair struggle.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, as I thought about this question, okay, redeeming practices that we would look at and go, ooh, man, does that seem dark? Is that pagan? Is that whatever? You know, and there's a few passages. I thought of Ephesians 5 where Paul says, like, actually, like, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Okay, just don't even do it, basically. Yeah. And then I thought of the example, yeah, they burned their witchcraft books in Ephesus or wherever it was. And it wasn't like, oh, I wonder if I could still use this, or, you know, there was a clear break. And then you have, examples like Paul, where he looks around the culture and he uses their worship of false gods. But this is who you're actually longing for. Like, you have an altar that says to the unknown God. Well, let me tell you about who you're actually longing for. But he doesn't say, like, just keep worshiping the statue. He's like, no, what your heart actually longs for is Jesus. So don't worship that statue. Worship Jesus.
Yeah.
So I think maybe there's certain things where you just use discernment going, okay, when I went to Zambia, was all the drumming and rhythmic dancing uncomfortable for me as a white North American? Yeah. But was it demonic? I don't think so. I don't think, and it's interesting. We had that conversation because there was a few people on our team who were like, but that kind of dancing is so inappropriate. It's not okay to do that in church. And I'm like, yeah, for you, right? Your culture being Old Colony Mennonite or whatever, right? Yeah. Of course that kind of dancing is inappropriate.
Yeah.
But for them, it was not a sexualized dancing. They were like, you could watch them. They were literally, I'm dancing for Jesus. This is for the Lord, right? I'm moving my body as praise to him. And yet someone could look at that and go, that is so demonic in the church for them to move their hips like that. Unbelievable. Yeah. So I think there's things like that where we just use discernment as Christians going, this seems like a cultural thing like that. Your culture is different than mine. Okay. Yeah.
But you know what we're comfortable with? And another example is like when we go to Latvia, there's monasteries and churches we'll go to that have been open. The door's not closed for 500 years. And there's still monks in there. There's still a priest. And they will sing day and night. And I think even those, if your same missionary group from Africa went to Eastern Europe and walked in there, they'd probably have a little sense of reverence, a little sense of like, oh, you don't really have to do that. But it is just this really interesting display of discipline that we are going to pray unceasingly and sacrifice our lives to do this. But in one church I remember going to, there was candles, and you say your prayer, light a candle, and the priest is going around with his smoke in the little jar. And I just remember thinking, what you've done is you've made it all about this. So you are still worshiping God, but you've really focused on all of these symbolism. That's what a lot of cultures do. And I think Native American culture, spirituality is no different. Like you've made your efforts to find God focused on your actions and your symbols. Yep. So many faith cultures do that. We just do it differently here, I think. But I think there's a really distinct difference between witchcraft and sorcery and things that are truly demonic.
Yes. Yep.
And then on the other hand, you have church traditions that just look incredibly different. Like we're going next year. We'll walk back into hundreds of years ago. And there's even a monastery in Abbotsford you've probably been to.
Yes, I went there. Yep.
And you can go there and these guys commit their lives and they're singing. And so we would say, I don't think you need to do that, but it's kind of cool that you are. I just hope you're not getting lost in all of that symbolism in your pursuit of God, because you can actually just come to Rocco's with me and have a milkshake and still pursue God, you know, in that context. Yeah. So I think there's that also. And I do think that we have to push back on that tendency to put our rubber stamp and the way we worship on every culture that we look around, and maybe use that opportunity to, like, if I were to see someone smudging, for an example, I often kind of joke in a way, because I can. I joke like, why are you doing that? Yeah.
Can you like just briefly say what that is? If someone listening is like, well, what is that?
So, yeah, it's the Native American version of your essential oils at home. if you have a diffuser in your house and you buy essential oils, you are smudging like a white person.
A white person.
100%.
Smudge.
So it's not demonic.
Cloves and cinnamon.
Yeah. And so in a bowl, sage, which is your liquidified version, that's what it actually looks like, folks, if you were to buy it dry. And so they'll light it and they will use that essence, and you'll go around saying essentially.
But is it to like ward off evil spirits?
No, it's a purity. Okay. It's like, okay, get your mind focused. Purify yourself. Is it got a could it have a negative connotation? 100%. But my wife's got a couple diffusers, and half of you in the church probably sell essential oils. Why do you do
sell them?
If you haven't sold them, then someone from high school sold them to you. But like, you laugh, but it's kind of funny how we over demonize something because we're not sure what it is. Are people doing it improperly or for the wrong reasons? Absolutely. Like, just like anything else, just like someone saying I need to do lavender in my home for stress, it's like, or you could pray, or you can navigate your life differently, or does it help? But yeah, the smudging is a sweetgrass sage most often.
That's an interesting
in the dry form, not the liquid form that you buy at Walmart.
I think that's what I'm saying too. With like it's a difference between culture versus worship. I think you can do just about anything and worship false gods, just about anything and do that, right? Whereas I think when you decide to follow Christ, there are going to be aspects of your life that don't just immediately turn Western, right? Like, you're going to continue doing certain things that you were raised doing, but now can you not do that unto the Lord? Now, there are certain parameters that I think we've already touched on that are like out of bounds. So like, for example, if you grew up using a Ouija board, you're probably going to stop because there is direct biblical commands against such things.
Yes.
But if you grew up playing card games and then you became a Christian, well, shoot, you can't use chance now because you're a Christian and God's in control of everything. So you throw away all your card games.
But I would say even with that, if you like truly feel convicted, for me, that's a, like, that's a gray area. If someone's like, I feel like the Lord's saying I shouldn't play cards, I go, hey, God bless you.
Don't eat meat. Don't
if
play
that's,
cards.
Well, if that's your conscience, then you know, but don't be like, and I'm a better Christian because I don't play cards. Right, we've talked about before at the church the big category called adiaphora, like debatable things.
Yeah.
So I think I would even, we talked about it with head coverings. If someone's like, I read 1 Corinthians 11 and I really do think I should literally physically wear a head covering, I'm like, hey, have at it. God bless you.
Yeah.
And if you don't and you go, I think I can still honor my husband and like do, you know, and just not do that, I go, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So I agree with you. So like, for instance, when we went to Zambia, right, we participated in church services and we did things culture. But if we went to like some village and some witch doctor was like, here, let me rub this blood on your face, I'd be like, I think this is not just a cultural thing. Hold up. Think this is demonic, right?
Yeah.
So I appreciate what you're saying, Cortland, that there's probably, not probably, there is a difference, right?
And I think music is the most like you've grown, like you're in a band, you know, singing terrible music that's sinful. And then you become a Christian, you end up playing in the church band.
Like, yes.
You are redeeming your former practices, music being, I think, a very, music and rhythm is always a really interesting layer to add in when you're considering religion or spirituality. And that's probably where we see the most redeemed folks in the evangelical church is through music and worship. But we look at some of those other nuances and we don't consider that the same. And I don't want anyone to misinterpret that, like everything you see, whether it's native spirituality or anything else, or, you know, Sikhism actually in town is actually one that, like, they're very good moral people.
Sure.
And they're probably, if they were to, you know, some of the Sikhs I met are just more ethical people than some Christians. Yes. And their mission to do good in the world is phenomenal. But they are missing the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the difference, though, is that your morality and the goodness that comes from different religions on the scale of salvation does nothing, right? It doesn't do anything to please Yahweh. It has to be through Christ. And so that's where then we actually, I think, have room within different cultures. Once the blood of Christ has covered you, you have room within your culture to continue living but worshiping the one true God instead of worshiping false gods or making sacrifices or whatever you want to say, right? You can switch those things so that you're doing it for the Lord. Obviously with some nuance to that statement, right? Because there's going to be certain practices that you probably won't continue.
As you
doing.
Say that though, I feel like it's such an ignorant question in some ways, and I apologize if the person who asks is listening, but I'm just thinking as you're talking about all of the missionaries that we support across the world who are in hiding and who on the surface level may look still Muslim because they have to survive and walk around their community and go to their functions. But inside or brothers and sisters in Asia who are born again Christians who are serving the Lord, but who have to like follow practices as not to be killed. Are they like compromising their faith or are they doing great work? Like, are they redeeming pagan practices just because they'll still wear head coverings as not to be ousted in a crowd?
I think that can be comparable to when Paul, for whatever reason, the names are slipping my mind, but there's in the New Testament, one guy that Paul encourages, like, get circumcised before you go, because that is going to be like a huge barrier.
It was Titus and Timothy. Timothy, he told, if I'm remembering in Galatians, he brought Titus with him And Titus did not get circumcised, and Paul thought, this is a hill that I need to die on for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because in that culture or that circumstance, it was like, you need to be circumcised to be a Christian. And Paul was like, no. And he fought hard for Titus. And then for Timothy, poor Timothy, he was like, I think it's actually a good idea if you just go get circumcised, because then you'll be able to
it
reach
won't
out
be
to
that
the, there won't be a
barrier.
And so you could go, but Paul, you compromised the gospel. Why did you fight so hard for Titus, but not for Timothy? Because he went like, this is not a salvation issue. This is a culture issue. And Timothy, you'll have a way better in with these people if you get circumcised rather than
which was a cultural thing.
Yeah.
But there are people that were doing it for the wrong reasons, right? So you even take a practice like that. And I think that then applies, not per se that it's a prescription for what we should do, but I think that some of that wisdom applies even in our context, right? Like when we send missionaries now, I don't know of any that we have supported as a church that were like, go and make them a Western church.
No, but I would even say like, you know, oh man, this is, what time do you have to go, Cam?
I got about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay, good. Cause this is a great conversation. Cause I agree with you that, you know, there's missionaries in the world that culturally do things to protect themselves. But like, I don't know any missionary in a Muslim country who's like, oh, by the way, I still pray five times a day to Muhammad or whatever. Because I'm like, I don't know if that's...
No, but they'll walk through the market with
their
head covering.
Yes,
and
they'll put... Right? Because if like, oh, if I'm outed, I will be killed for for being a Christian, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, we're back to this like, you know, so Bethel, for instance, being like, we're going to create a Christian version of tarot cards. I'm like, one, I don't think you need to do that.
Yeah.
And two, I don't know. The Bible seems more explicit about those types of practices. Like that's considered witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Like you probably, I don't know if that's redeemable.
But there are churches in North America that look like ours that are not Christian churches.
Sure.
And so we also have to use discernment to say like, even if it looks like what we are familiar with, we still have to use discernment.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't look like what we're familiar with, we shouldn't default to demonic. If you care and you truly want to know, then engage. And if you don't care and you're just looking for something to critique, then just move on. Like,
You bring up a good point. Cause like, so we've mentioned Old Colony a few times, probably very similar to a lot of the conservative practices here. They would view us as very liberal.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
But I'll be careful because I'm sure there are born-again Christians in the Old Colony Church for sure.
Yeah.
But what they preach is a gospel different than ours. So we would say they're not a Christian church. But man, you're so right. Like on surface level, they're like almost identical to us. But yet they teach you must earn your salvation by doing enough and by being good enough. And Jesus's blood doesn't pay for everything. Maybe opens the door, but you got to earn it. So we will go, that's a completely different gospel.
Yeah.
And yet service level, I mean, we have from Old Calling to our church is maybe an easy shift culturally. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I think for like back to like native spirituality, if you were like our kids in Sunday school, they'll make arts and crafts and often they'll have crosses, but those churches may, those kids may make the same arts and crafts with crosses.
Sure.
But the theological difference is vast. And so I think also that in native spirituality, there could be those circles who are praying to the great spirits and everything goes. And there are those that are praying to the God of the Bible who have been redeemed and saved. Yet their children all still make dream catchers. Is it all demonic? If it is, then ours would have to be also. It's just you don't get to do that. And I think it's that ignorance of looking across the cultural divide and saying, that's all wrong. Well, they could look back with those fingers pointed back at us and say, well, actually, that's all wrong. Because look at the, actually, there's a wider, I think, a wider array of evangelical churches not doing it well in the West, just because there's so many. So I always caution people to not paint with a wide brush and not assume. I mean, if you have children at their school and they have an indigenous support worker who is really out to lunch and just teaching them all sorts of wacko stuff, absolutely stop it. But in our school, our kids are fortunate that the woman just likes to do craft work with them. That's cultural. So they'll do beading and stuff and they'll do crafts and she's not preaching to them. She's actually just a support worker who
So even from like Finch, our perspective, like they do some Indigenous studies and whatever, just school wide, or they'll have assemblies and blah, 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 stuff like that. Which, like, I have no problem with. I'm like, I want my kids to learn about different cultures. That's awesome. Sure. I think it's a danger if you don't. But sometimes, so the, for instance, they'll bring a paper home that says, like, you know, the wolf spirit. What does that do? And so we just have a conversation. I'm sorry. I'm probably not. Maybe it's
no,
not,
no.
Some different. I thought your face was like, you white person.
No, I was actually laughing. Like, I'll do the same to my kids. Like, so that's crap.
So then we'll say, like. Well, is this true? Is there actually a wolf spirit that like does certain things? And my kids will be like, well, no, because, you know, we worship God and he's Father, Son, and Spirit and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So there's aspects of it where, we just say like, but, you know, according to our biblical worldview, this isn't true, right? But it's interesting to learn about it, right? Sure. Like, so
Sasha brought one home. It was like seven sacred teachings. It was like truth and honesty and wisdom and morality. And like, and they walked through them. I'm like, that's how you should live. You should live thinking about those things because you're a Christian, but also that's what the Bible teaches. And that's what's really neat to see out of some of those teachings. It's all rooted in scripture, and even some of the golden rule.
Well, even, the most recent one, it was about the Northern Lights and what are the Northern Lights. And it was a test. So Lucy wrote the answer. It was like a part of it was the Indigenous stuff, but like, what are the Northern Lights? It's the spirits of our ancestors, like watching over us. So Lucy had to answer that on the test.
Oh.
So I just asked her like, okay, is that true, Lucy? Well, no, but I didn't want to get the question wrong. So I'm like, okay, interesting. So we just said like, what are the Northern Lights? And we talked about the science behind it. And, you know, it's, I mean, God is amazing that he puts these displays on for us, like unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But are they actually spirits of dead people? Like, well, no, right? Yeah. But it just made me laugh that she's like, I didn't want to get the answer wrong. So
I would have let Sasha get the answer wrong.
Yeah.
Just to bug the person. Yeah. No, it's a really good conversation.
Closing thoughts? I think there is, like we've said, just to summarize, I think there are certain things that we would say as Christians, that clearly crosses the line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, on a Ouija board, let's participate in reaching out to dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go see the fortune teller. I'm just redeeming. I think there's certain things that we would go, those are just irredeemable, right? Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, like Paul says, we're supposed to actually separate ourselves from them.
Yeah.
But then there are things culturally that many of us engage with in different ways. And I think it also comes down to your conscience and what the Holy Spirit has convicted you of to say, you know what, for my own sake, I'm not going to engage in these things. I think of Christmas. I think of Halloween. There's some people who are like, you know what, for my own walk with Jesus, I just feel wrong putting a Christmas tree up. Okay. Yeah. I think that's fine. Don't put one up then. Yeah. Or to go trick-or-treating. Or, you know, native spirituality. If there's certain people who are like, it's fine that my kids can participate in the school system. Okay, that's fine. Like, but I think there's much discernment that's needed for all cultures to go, okay, are these cultural practices or are these worship of false gods? Or
Christians are called to be different, but I don't think that that means that we are to
white in North America.
Right. I think that in being image bearers of God, in following Christ in the way that he loved us, I think that is where the outstanding difference happens compared to what you eat, how you eat it, what you make for a craft, what you wear. Like, your love for other people should reflect the love of Jesus, and that should be the distinguishing feature.
Love wins, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude.
That's true though. And I've shared it before, but an amazing book, Pagan Christianity, was written by two Christians who was just that little gut check. It's like, what we're doing today in church is fine, but just recognize where it came from.
Yeah.
And it actually walks through how we have we've mirrored other systems to worship our God because it works.
Even this podcast is something like that. Think of all the podcasts that are talking about horrible and dissentious, sinful things that people listen to, and they make tons of money from it and praise these things, lift them up on the podcast. We're making a podcast here right now in hopes that we will edify other Christians and serve.
I thought
God
you were gonna get
that.
Rich.
I was like, no. Wait, are we gonna make money off this thing?
No,
awesome.
But you know what right. I mean, right? Yeah, like totally. It's almost no matter what you look at in your life, you could say that there's some element of worldliness to it. But I think that as Christians, we actually have freedom in Christ to continue doing things, but honor God with that, mm-hmm. right?
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Great question. Good discussion. Episode 153. As always, if you have more questions, you want us to talk about certain things, shoot us an email or a message or something, and we'll do that. And we will talk to you. I was going to say next week, but
next time.
We'll see. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good week.